This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
What's up, Doing It At Home family? Matthew Bivens here. And before I tell you a little bit about today's episode, I wanted to announce that Sarah and I have created an awesome, awesome ebook for you all. This ebook is the 12 things that we did that made our home birth awesome. And it's totally free. It's available right now on our website, diahpodcast.com. And in the ebook, we lay out the 12 things that we did. Some of these things we purchased, some of these things we did to our space, our physical space. Some of it had to do with planning, but these are really the things, like when we sit down and think, what was it that really, really helped us to create a truly unbelievable, beautiful home birth experience for baby Maya? What was it that we did? And so when we sat down and thought about it, boom, 12 things popped out. And we wrote them up in this ebook and slapped it on our website. It is totally free for you. This ebook is a great tool for those of you who are currently curious about home birth or are planning on a home birth and are getting ready for your baby's arrival. So go check it out. Again, it's 100% free. The 12 things that we did to make our home birth awesome, available on our website, www.diahpodcast.com. Okay, so today's episode, we're jumping back into the archives a little bit. This episode is actually our third most downloaded episode out of all of them, 100 and however many we've done. And it's absolutely one of my favorites. It is the Sex While Pregnant episode. Yes. So that means you probably don't want to listen to this one with young ears in the room, because Sarah and I go in figuratively, literally, laterally, and all the stuff in between. The episode is called Sex While Pregnant, the ins, the outs, the reach arounds. And we really just talk about what it was like for us, our experience, you know, Sarah's experience, my experience of having sex, making love, being intimate, connecting in that way while pregnant. Because this was the first time either of us had experienced pregnancy. And, you know, a lot of stuff came up for us. Emotions, desires, fears, you know, embarrassing things. Like, all sorts of stuff came up for us. And, you know, we really wanted to just dive in and tackle it, you know, head on. Because we love, love, love our sex life before being pregnant. And if you can believe it, our sex life became even more amazing, even more rich, even more connected while pregnant. So if you want to learn how we did that and what came up for us, and you just want to hear a couple of people talking raw and honestly about something that is on pretty much every pregnant person's mind, then check out this episode. You're really going to dig it. And I'm done talking, so enjoy.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Sarah. When people asked me and my husband Matthew about our birth plans, our answer was simple. We're doing it at home. So this is a podcast all about our home birth journey. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. I'm Sarah and I'm hanging out here with one of the most awesome humans I've ever known. I get to call him my best friend, my business partner, and my husband. This is Matthew. I got a really sweet intro for you today.
You sure did. What's up, Mama? How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know if I can live up to that intro. That was awesome.
Of course you can. So, preface for today's episode, not intended for little ears.
No.
We're going to be going in on some things that may not want to listen to if you're driving in the car, taking them to school or to and from soccer practice or something like that. So just wait and enjoy this one by yourself or in the company of other adults who can have adult conversations. because we are talking about sex while pregnant.
Bow chicka bow wow. You knew that was coming.
Oh yes, I knew. I thought it was gonna be like, let's talk about sex, baby. Baby, like literally. So true. Yes. One thing I want to include for this episode is a link to an article I actually wrote about this topic from my blog, Back to Complete, and it's titled pretty basically, How to Have Sex While You're Pregnant. And it was a cool experience for me to write it. You know, it was a great opportunity to practice openness and transparency, things that I'm working on, because I know this is something really relevant for a lot of women and couples and people everywhere. So I just wanted to experience or share part of my experience, and I've gotten some really great feedback on it from, you know, friends and people I know in my community, and then also people who have just commented on it or reached out. So that was really affirming for me, and I felt it totally necessary to have a full episode about it.
Yeah, so we'll put a link to it in the show notes so you can go check it out and read it. And this episode is not going to be a recap of it. But there will be some things that are some
yeah, that crossover. Might tie in.
Yeah.
Let's, you know, no further ado. I want to start by talking about some of the things you think or that we thought in particular before you actually experience pregnant sex. So you find out you're pregnant. Yay. You know, everything is magical and sunshine and you're so excited. And then here's a new way to experience something that you've been doing for a while, presumably. It's something that's gotten you to be pregnant. And now it's like, what are some beliefs or ideas or things that shift as a result of now being pregnant? And the one thing I just remember thinking about, in the first trimester, continuing to have sex while pregnant, it was just like, well, we can't do missionary at some point. That was just like the number one thing I kept thinking, because that's just like, don't go on your back or, you know, you'll hurt the baby or this or that. That was like the number one belief and programming I had flashing in my mind.
Yeah,
and
squish the baby.
Yes. And that's my favorite way to be, different forms of missionary. So I was not very much looking forward to not being able to do it anymore.
Is that really your favorite?
Yeah, well, certain variations of it, but yes, that's...
Like, what's a variation of it?
Well, okay, so variation. Like? Well, like, when we're really wrapped up in each other, and, like, my legs can be up, and, like, we're this little pretzel. Like, I guess it's not... Yeah, I guess it is traditional missionary. I don't know, but yes, it's my favorite.
Oh, I'm just learning stuff.
So other things, too, other misconceptions... or beliefs I had is what it's going to do to my sex drive personally as the pregnant woman, like with the cocktail of hormones that are going on. Is it going to shoot me up into skyrocketing like new levels of horniness that I've never experienced, which would be awesome because I've heard that's happened for some women. So I was holding out for that to happen. And then there's also the extreme opposite, you know, women who don't want to be touched and feel really repulsed at the idea of having sex while pregnant. And probably the next biggest one I had was that you or men in general would be freaked out by it. Would be freaked out by a pregnant body, especially as it started to really shift and how they'd feel about it, or you know, then you can get into the conversation of your confidence level around it. Like, oh, am I less sexy? Or like, you know, I can't do this position anymore, or I have to
move slowly like this to transition into another, you know, it's not just going to be this wild, like rip each other's clothes off and, you know, toss me on the bed and wrangle me around, you know, is that going to change your, as my partner, is that going to change your experience in a way that you're no longer enjoying it as much?
Did you, okay, so yeah, the athleticism of our sex has changed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So because, especially now, I mean, we're at 40 weeks. We had sex yesterday.
We did.
So sex at 40 weeks, like very relevant to, or yeah, very relevant to us. Recent memory. And it, you know, you have to like take your time to ease into positions. Is that something that you were thinking about when you first got pregnant? Like, I'm not going to be able to jump into these different positions.
Yeah, I thought about that. I was like, you know, I'm not going to be as limber. I'm not going to be as fast. I'm, you know, I'm going to be built differently, not for speed necessarily. yeah, I definitely thought about that and thought about how it would impact either or our experiences, you know, you or me or both of us.
Do you want me to talk about some of the things?
Yeah, yeah. What are some things that you thought about? Those are the main things I thought before going into having this new experience with you.
So early on, I heard that the different trimesters, like one of the trimesters, women get super horny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was totally excited for the horny trimester. I don't know which one it was. I think it was the second one or was the third one.
It's for some women, it's second and some it's third when it well, like really picks up.
Yeah, I know it's different for everybody, but there was like, there's one trimester where it's, you know, talked about. It's like, that's the one where your hormones will go up.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's third, like third? The beginning of third.
Or at least that's what I had been okay. hearing. So I was excited about that. I was interested to see what my, like, turned on level would be with the baby bump.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, would I feel weird making love and there's a baby right there?
Like it knocked up.
Well, so I never had the belief, and I don't know, I'm not trying to judge, but I think it's goofy as hell that like my penis is going to hit the baby.
Because it's not.
Unless you have like a freaking huge ass
it's not
wiener. Like it's not going, I mean, so yeah, so I never had that fear.
Okay.
And it's not because I got a little thing, like I have, you know, anyway.
You're fine.
Yeah. I know female anatomy in that way. I've seen diagrams. I knew it wasn't going to hit anything. But I was wondering, like, am I going to feel weird knowing that my daughter's hanging out right in front?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Those two things. What else? That's it for now. I know there were things that cropped up during the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as ideas and thoughts I had before, you know, actually the beginning of the pregnancy, it was those two main ones.
Okay. So maybe let's talk about how you've experienced it throughout the pregnancy. So, you know, in the article, for instance, I broke it down into trimesters, and I have a very different experience of lovemaking while pregnant in each of them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I don't know if you agree, but the first trimester, I feel like it was pretty much the same. You know, like I didn't start showing until a little bit later, maybe closer to like 20 weeks. I had a legit bump.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and I feel like my drive was pretty similar.
I think you just like your first trimester, physical manifestations of pregnancy besides the little baby bump were the nausea.
Yeah. And so maybe there might be one or two nights where I was like, well,
yeah.
And so, you know, we didn't.
But other than that, it was pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have sex, I think we were maybe like three times a week.
Mm-hmm.
About three that times a week right. is where we were at before pregnancy. Through the first trimester, I think it was two to three.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if we weren't having sex, like, blowjobs went up.
Right.
You know, and, like, so, you know, for you know, oral for both of us.
Right, right, right.
So if we weren't actually doing penetration, then other stuff was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, literally.
Ha-ha-ha-ha.
Ha-ha. And yeah, so the first trimester was pretty much business as usual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, again, don't know about you. This could be an interesting time to learn about each other's experiences. But second trimester for me just like took a huge dip.
In desire.
In desire. I just didn't have the drive. I didn't feel like initiating. I wasn't feeling some type of way about my body. It's not like I was like, oh no, it looks like this. Like, I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't have and I was judging myself for that. I was frustrated by it because, like I said, you know, a previous belief was there was this potential to skyrocket into like crazy lady horniness. And I was like, why not me? Like, why can't I be like those women who were sharing with me? Oh yeah. Like, I just wanted it all the time. Or like, I would, you know, bend over to pick up a pen in front of my husband and be like, hey, you know, like I wanted that. I wanted all of that. And so because I wasn't organically creating that experience, or it wasn't showing up like that, I felt all kinds of frustrated with myself as a woman, as a wife. I felt like I was not failing you, but creating this now environment for you to not be fulfilled or satisfied. And it created a nice little spiral of disempowering emotions.
Yeah, I remember the dip in the second trimester. What other physical stuff was happening in the second trimester? That was more of the bump became larger and you started to feel some of the, like, little bits of the discomfort.
Yeah, bump became larger. Also, I mean, this is all of pregnancy, but having to pee all the time. I just remember feeling so annoyed and frustrated by, you know, in the times we did make love, I would have to pee like right before, maybe even after foreplay or starting out, during, and then immediately after. And it just felt like it broke up all of, you know, the flow and my energy. And then it would like create me to be in my head, and sensations started to feel different. You know, at any different point during lovemaking, I thought I was just going to spontaneously pee. And so then I was also experiencing some pain. You remember that? That's what was happening physically, like, penetration was hurting in certain ways.
Yeah.
And I was judging the shit out of that too. I was super angry about that. And I don't think my emotional or thought process was assisting me in moving through that. And having a previous coding of, you know, when I was younger, I always believed if sex starts to hurt or feel uncomfortable in any sort of way, no matter what, like, that's it. That's like, it's shut down. No more. Like, you don't explore if you can move through that. Or see what that's about, or see where the thin line between that discomfort and potentially pleasure could be. Like, you just stop.
Yeah.
And so I had that running in my mind too. And so I think to prevent feeling pain again, I would just shut down opportunities for us to have sex, or energetically close myself off to maybe where you felt you couldn't even initiate.
Well, you know, for me, and this goes back to some of my coding experience around sex, I don't initiate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll give a lot of hints that I'm interested and ready. But in terms of initiation, I think I just had a couple of experiences in the past where that stuck with me. So I'm still learning how to initiate more with you. And so in the second trimester, when you were feeling certain ways and you were having conversations and you weren't initiating, I you know, it wasn't as if my propensity for initiating was going up. And I've always felt like I had more desire than my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could get intimate more frequently than my partners. And so having that belief in my mind, what I then would do is I would quiet the urge. Or in the past, when I was turning to things that weren't super healthy for me, I was using porn.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do that anymore, but I was still like, okay, I could continue making love 2, 3, 4 times a week like we were in the first trimester and before we got pregnant, but you weren't feeling it. So I was able to just go back to that place that I could when I was younger and just be like, okay, well, I'll push it down. I'll quiet it down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's energy, right? So I'm curious where, if that energy wasn't coming out through lovemaking, where it was being funneled, because I think it was going somewhere. I don't really remember right now, but I definitely remember being like getting into the mode of, okay, we're gonna maybe have sex once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of like mentally getting myself into that space. And I mean, it would, you know, I don't remember the specific conversations we had around sex in the second trimester. Do you remember, like, what was our communication level like?
I believe it started probably at a medium level, and I think it got higher as time went on, because I do remember having conversations. I remember sharing with you specifically how I was feeling,
yeah,
around feeling guilty and just feeling like I just didn't have a desire, and what I was making that mean, and the story I was creating around that. I feel like we had a couple of conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it, you know, this jumps ahead to, you know, like probably one of my biggest tip for this overall experience is the communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like that really laid the groundwork for what would create a shift for the third trimester. And, you know, it wasn't just this, you know, wake up, it's third trimester and I'm, you know, I'm ready to hop back in the saddle. Like, it wasn't like that. I think it was so intentionally co-created, in the sense that we had conversations, open, yeah, communication. And then, you know, it led to me sharing, you know, what I just said earlier, feeling like if it felt uncomfortable at some point, that meant it had to stop.
And then we worked on that.
Yeah, because we have such a high level of trust built between us, and, you know, we had been working on our intimacy prior to being pregnant. Now in this space of being pregnant, where it's a little bit touchy and it's a little bit sensitive, it's just different. I trusted you to work through that. So there were probably, maybe 5 or 6 lovemaking sessions that I can think of where I was physically probably uncomfortable throughout the whole thing.
And then we would just connect.
We'd talk it out. And, breathe. And because, you know, some other event that is a little uncomfortable down there, I've heard, birth.
Yeah. No, we absolutely used some of those physical sensations you were experiencing as opportunities for us to connect and for you, mm-hmm, to flow. Mm-hmm. And it was very loving, like, you know, there was a lot of communication.
Yes, very high communication.
And, you know, in those moments, I think the goal of what we were doing shifted from just purely physical pleasure and orgasm,
mm-hmm,
to connection and being able to transmute energy that was uncomfortable to energy that was comfortable and pleasurable.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe the first time it was a lot of like breathing and patience and we stopped. But after that, I mean, we were able to really tap in, connect, mm-hmm, and shift it to where it might have felt uncomfortable, you know, towards the beginning or the middle, but by the end it was, you know, blast off as normal.
Right, right.
I remember that was powerful. I think for me as well, because I had some coding from my past of, you know, not wanting to engage if you were no longer feeling pleasure, mm-hmm, if it was hurting at all, if you were feeling uncomfortable, like, I don't know, I just had this fear, really, like, if my partner wasn't 100% into it, then okay, I gotta shut it down,
right? Because you could be being forceful or,
yeah, exactly,
dominating or something.
Exactly. And so it was growth and healing for both of us, mm-hmm, and it was really fascinating that it happened while pregnant and around sex.
Right. Yeah, I mean, those were just very powerful sessions for me. Like I said, even though I've never really experienced myself to be anorgasmic, I think that's the word, like, to not have an orgasm,
mm-hmm,
but, you know, that was a time frame where I wasn't necessarily having orgasms, but they were still like such powerful experiences. And so that shifted a lot for me around like what orgasm even is, and you know, the pressure or the expectation we put around having them or creating them, and what that's about. That we could still have totally intimate, powerful, connected, you know, sexual experiences, and it didn't necessarily have to result in that, because it was so much more than that. I feel like, yeah, there were so many more layers of like old disempowering beliefs and fears that were being broken down, like literally physically by you being inside me, but then also, you know, communicating and talking through it.
Yeah, I mean, just like we said, the quote-unquote goal shifted.
Right. Yeah, the intention was different.
Yeah, mm-hmm, the intention was different. However, you and I are now in a space where, you know, we're playing to create multiple orgasms,
mm-hmm,
and really see where we can take the intimate experience, the lovemaking experience. So I think at that time for, you know, in that second trimester, the intention was very different. And because the intention was different, the outcome was also different.
Yeah. And I think that really then set the tone for moving further into the third trimester. I experienced a big pickup in desire, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And even when I wasn't feeling physically aroused or feeling like I, you know, wanted to jump your bones, I had the like mental and emotional desire too. And I think that was really big for me. Again, distinguishing those, like thinking that it always had to be like, oh, well, I feel tingly, so that means it's on. Like, what if I just create the emotion and the sensation within myself of wanting to have that experience, and then I act on it rather than like waiting for, you know, my yoni, my you know, my downtown to tell me, like, what if I just create it because it's like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday? Why not? You know,
America, we are endowed by our creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
I'll be totally honest. I felt that way yesterday because we were, what did we do? We had finished eating or something.
We were doing stuff around the house, I think.
We were doing stuff around the house. And then is that when we took the dogs for a walk?
We went for a walk. We came back.
And then you said, why don't we shower and have sex? And I remember thinking, okay. Like, it was sort of, I mean, I'll be honest. It was that sort of like nonchalant, like, okay, I could do that. And then we showered. And I think we showered, like, we were just both maybe wonked out from the walk and the housework. It was like a silent shower.
Yeah.
It was a silent shower. We showered together. And then when we were complete, it was like, all right, let's get into lovemaking. Yeah. But I wasn't there physically. I wasn't necessarily there emotionally, but like I could get down with the idea mentally. But so we didn't start out with making out. We laid together. And then we started, I think I got out some coconut oil, and we just started like slowly massaging one another. And I don't know, but I think both of us were able to create that energy and that excitement. But even the lovemaking itself was very, what's the word? There wasn't a lot of conversation. There wasn't a lot of noise.
No, it wasn't. It was like one of the quietest we've ever had.
But the reason why I bring that up is because of what you just described, like, being able to create
The space for it.
Yeah, like we may not have been feeling the burning desire in our loins,
right?
But we wanted to connect in that way.
Yeah, so, I definitely did.
And so we created it. And like that is something that I've never really thought of. Like I guess my sex drive has always been guided by my balls.
your ding dong.
My ding dong. Yeah, like if he's up, then okay, then obviously now that's time. But I mean, what we've been exploring and practicing and what we experienced yesterday was like, that's not the case at all. It's like we decide that we want to create this, and so we go about creating it. And it was an amazing connection. It was an amazing experience. You know, we both had great orgasms, and 30 minutes before that happened, we were both pretty like flat.
Yeah, just hanging out.
Yeah, just hanging out, literally. And so it was, I thought that was really interesting. And a lot of that happened, a lot of that creation and really tapping in and, you know, connecting with one another very intentionally. And that being the goal, a lot of that happened through our sex and as we explored sex within our pregnancy.
Yes. And all I think this is doing, not only is it creating more intimacy and trust and communication between the two of us, but I believe there truly is energy kind of lining the birth canal, so to speak, that can go back as far as generations that we like bring our children forth into the world through. And there's things or there's thoughts or beliefs or patterns that they pick up on as far as how we feel about certain things, So by us being really healing in a way, I think that's a big word that comes up for me over our lovemaking in pregnancy. It's been very healing. I think that sets the tone and kind of clears out that space, like the birth canal, if you will, for Maya to come through in this like loving, more peaceful space. I mean, what's it called? There's a documentary called Orgasmic Birth, I think. We haven't watched it yet, but I've heard a lot of really amazing things about it, where there are some women who not only do they experience like zero pain, or how you relate to pain during birthing, but almost pleasure. Because, I mean, when you think about it, you know, the same thing that gets them there is what gets them out. It's the same pathway.
Yeah.
And that veil, you know, as I'm sure a lot of people can attest to outside of pregnant sex, like sometimes that veil between discomfort or, you know, pain and pleasure is very thin. And I think that same argument could be made for birth, that here's this transformative experience that's happening and it's all related to sexual energy. Like sexual energy is life energy. So I know I kind of went up with that a little bit just talking from like, you know, lovemaking yesterday, but I think it all just ties into, it's all connected to everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And, I think it's time we bring it back down and just talk about some of like the freaky stuff that either increased or that we've experienced. And I'll start it off. We didn't do a lot of doggy style.
No, because I didn't like it. I had a lot of beliefs around that before being pregnant, before being married to you, before whatever, that it was disempowering to women. It was like degrading. It didn't really feel great. So I had a lot of blockages around that position.
And what do you feel about it now?
I think it's awesome. One, it's a comfortable position for me to be in right now. But two, I think there's actually more power to be had and felt as a woman in that position than we sometimes otherwise want to believe. Like you're actually in control. And by in control, I mean like you can take any sexual situation or position and use it as an opportunity to be like in your queendom, as I like to say, to be in your full power and your full expression of like your feminine awesomeness. And that was just an opportunity for me to practice that. And through a loving, supportive, trusting partner, and also working on myself and loving who I am in all ways, it's awesome. I think it's, I think it's a great, great position.
Yeah,
it's one that I'm recommended to be in right now. Actually, a lot of is on my knees to promote this engaging and birthing process.
Yeah, man. So like doggy style through the roof. Awesome. We've tried that all over the place, and standing and kneeling and all sorts of stuff, and going from very slow to more rigorous, and just getting me excited thinking about it. We've also a lot more blowjobs for me, which has been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And although the gag reflex has been an interesting thing that I've...
Yeah, first trimester, that was woo. That was rough.
And I don't think I truly understood it, because I've never been in that position. So I'm like, just get over it. And like, like,
nah, man. First trimester, that was gag reflex. Well, I couldn't swallow because I was all kinds of nauseous. Like that was not. But coming out of that, I love that. I think that's a really big place where I feel like I've owned my like queen power and feel awesome. Like I just love how I've gotten to know your penis more over the past 9 months, and like how we've gotten to get to know each other more, and I know what works here and this and that. I mean, yeah, like take your time with it. Enjoy, like make it like an art, you know, make it, you know, really stop and connect. Like that's been a huge thing for me that I've learned throughout this too, is you know, not just in it for the end result, you know, to make you feel a certain way or for me to feel a certain way, is like, wait, stop. Am I feeling connected in this moment? Yeah. Am I feeling connected with myself and this person? If I'm not, then, you know, take a second and readjust or slow down with what you're doing or communicate that.
Yeah. Communication has been huge. Yeah, let's continue with that. So I just want to, again, we've been up in the clouds a little bit mm-hmm. with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I want to bring it back down and just to highlight that sex while pregnant can continue to be fun and exciting and raunchy mm-hmm. and leave you without breath and put you to sleep. I mean, yeah. We've fallen asleep in these 9 months, like, you know, we both complete, boom, and we're like out.
Nap time.
Yeah, and I don't think I've done that in the past where, like, I didn't even get up to, like, use the restroom or clean myself up or anything. It was just like, yeah, just knock the F out. So we've experienced that. What other stuff? What other, like...
Baby moving. Learning to just kind of roll with that. Oh, you know, you're moving. In mid-thrust and you see, like, an elbow pop out of your, you know, that's trying to weird. Pop out of your stomach. Yeah. That can be very strange, but if you can just roll with it, one thing that I shifted as far as how I felt about that was, this is all like we're creating love, and then even better if there's an orgasm, that's a huge awesome cocktail of hormones that I'm producing in my body. Like, those can only be benefiting her, like, yeah. only, come on, like, you know, the endorphins and the dopamine and all of that. So I just look at it as, you know, loving energy and like a physical environment for her. So yeah, maybe like you pause every once, like, wait a second, you know, gotta readjust or this and that. But just learning to be patient, I think, was a big thing, and roll with it, you know, like a kick, or I felt like I was going to pass out a couple of times because of whatever position I've been in, you know, or my like breathing got short.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I just said it was weird seeing like an elbow, but it's so interesting when you're in it, like as we're engaging and we're connecting, like I totally remember seeing and feeling Maya move and just it didn't faze me or anything. And like, I remember, especially in the third trimester, in whatever position I'm in, preferring to have my hands on your stomach.
Mm.
And I don't know. I guess sitting here right now in bed with you talking, when you said seeing Maya's elbow, I'm like, oh, yeah, that must have been weird. And I said it. Oh, yeah, that was weird. But it wasn't. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was just part of, I don't know, she was experiencing the heightened energy,
right,
of the experience, and that was freaking awesome. And I don't know, sex with you for the past 9 months has been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of growth, a lot of healing, a lot of excitement. I mean, we've totally had the moments of just like sitting on the couch, and then like I look over at you look over at me, and boom, clothes are off, and we're just getting down. And then we've totally had the moments of wanting to connect, maybe emotionally, physically, we weren't there yet. And so we were very patient and we created it, and it was awesome. And so we've had a chance to experience everything, both sides of the spectrum, everything in between. You talked about patience. That's been huge for us. You talked about communication. That's been huge for us. Oh, another physical thing that I remember that I wanted to share, your boobs.
Oh, boobs.
Yeah. Oh yeah, your boobs, like,
they're great,
amazing. Although right now it's kind of like, I can't touch or squeeze or suck or do any of that stuff. Because they're leaking.
Yeah, it's like the summer season ending, and like, you know, like the summer camp's closing down, and like things are shifting for the new.
The boob camp shut down.
They just feel a little different. Like, you know, you just said they're kind of leaking, and they're super sensitive at some points. But earlier in the pregnancy, you know.
Yeah, you had nipple orgasms.
I did. I don't think I'd ever had that before.
That was nuts. Like, I've never seen that before. So that blew my paradigm away. And so just all sorts of amazing stuff around sex we have experienced mm-hmm. and talked about and created over these 9 months. And, you know, if we weren't pregnant, I don't think we would have explored all these different things. I know we wouldn't have explored the initial feelings of discomfort and then and transforming that into insane pleasure.
Sure.
We wouldn't have explored that, and we wouldn't have communicated the way we have when we're feeling a certain way, or I'm communicating my needs, or you're telling me where you're at. That wouldn't have happened without being pregnant. And new positions, you know what I mean? Like positions that we didn't go into before, but now we're like, all right, let's see what this is all about. And we end up loving the positions. Like all sorts of new opportunities were presented to us through sex while being pregnant.
Sex while pregnant. Hashtag sex while pregnant.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And I'm excited. I mean, today's 40 weeks. We're still pregnant, so we got some more exploring to do later.
Oh, yeah. The midwife suggested, you know, have as much sex as you want.
Oh, yeah.
What gets the baby in is what'll get it out. So
I want to even say, like, when we first start feeling, like, the very beginning of Maya deciding to come out.
Yeah, birthing, like, early birthing time.
Early birthing time.
Before water
birthing, yeah, like, and stuff. Go have sex.
Yeah. Heck yeah. It's on. It's definitely part of the plan.
Awesome.
To connect and open that space up for...
Literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Is there anything else?
Ooh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I mean, yes, there's so much else, but I think that's a really great summary of what we've been experiencing the past 9 months.
Has been. Now, what will be fascinating is to see how our sex life evolves after Maya comes.
Sure.
You know, because we've been very intentional about creating throughout the pregnancy, and you and I are very intentional about connecting and staying connected and all of that. So it'll be really cool to see what we do, sort of some of the inventive ways, and you know, maybe we have people babysit and we go get one of our friends who works at an amazing hotel can hook us up with a room.
Yeah.
And who knows what'll happen. So
yeah,
we'll have to do follow-up episodes.
Yeah, stay tuned for postpartum boning.
Cool. Well, that's all for today's episode. If you all got some value from this episode of the podcast in general, we would so appreciate you showing us some love on iTunes. Your reviews help us to rank highly on iTunes, and that actually allows more folks to discover the show so that they can be a part of this empowering conversation around home birth. And we both want to hear, like, what is one, you know, one thing that you've experienced in your sex life while being pregnant? Or if you're not pregnant yet, what's one thing you are anticipating, like looking forward to? Or maybe it's a fear that you want to shift. So if you have any of those things, then shoot us an email. You can email us at diahpodcast@gmail.com. That's D-I-A-H, just like doing it at home, podcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @DIAHpodcast.
Yep, so that's it. Thanks for listening to us share our experience with home birth. Bye.
See ya.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.